If you have your Bibles, do feel free to open up to chapter 1. But let's pray and then we'll have a look at these few verses together. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you now for the opportunity at Christmas time to just reflect specifically on the birth of Jesus and the significance of that birth. We pray that you give us ears that can hear and understand your message so that we can grow in our love for you and live the way you would have us live for all eternity, praising you, our great God. Amen. Well, as I said, there's the two accounts in the Bible, the bride's account and the groom's account. We're looking at the perspective of the groom's account this morning, of what Joseph had to say on that big day. And in this passage, we learn what it is that Mary's baby would be named and why he's given that name. And if you've ever thought about it, names are kind of funny things, really, aren't they? They're interesting. I don't know that we put a great deal of thought and significance on names as Australians by and large. For instance, my wife's full maiden name is Christine Sandra Kay. Now, Kay means clumsy person. Sandra means unheeded prophetess. And Christine means Christ bearer. So my wife's full name means clumsy, unheeded, Christ bearing prophetess. I didn't know that when I married her. In Australia, names are unimportant, but the length is very significant, isn't it? We like to shorten things. Victoria becomes Vicky. William becomes Bill. I have someone that I know whose full name is Henrietta Wilhelmina Ten Bloomendel. She goes as Hetty. If you've ever done the naming thing, or if you're ever going to do the child naming thing, be very careful that there isn't a second meaning in the name that could be very unfortunate for the poor child to go through life with. Some people have gone through life with names that are very unfortunate, like these. Gene Pool, Dandelions, Holly Day, Laura and Order, Owen Moore. Actually, we thought about Owen. With our last name being big, didn't seem to work too well. So we called him Peter instead. We had another name, Izzy, for David. Izzy Big, but that didn't work either. We have a friend, the Stubbses, and they wanted to call their little kid Cigarette, but that wouldn't work either. It's surprising, though, isn't it, that if you thought about names, sometimes a person's name actually matches their occupation. Have you noticed that? Sometimes here's a list of ones that I found. Les Payne, who's an anaesthetist. And Doug Graves, who's a funeral director. And Dr. Hurd, who's a paediatrician. And Jack Hammer, who's a builder. Phil Wright, who's a dentist. I like Chip Stone, he's a sculptor. And C. Good, the optometrist. Very interesting. Les Voltage, the electrician. And the poor minister whose name didn't match his occupation, I hope, anyway. Rev Emptyhead. I hope he didn't live up to his name. We're looking this morning at the naming of our Saviour. And in this passage, we see very clearly that the name of our Saviour is incredibly significant. It actually sums up the life that he's going to lead, and his name is his occupation. So let's follow the story recorded for us here. Ellie read it out so well for us. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, marriage practices the world over differ significantly. In some cultures, the groom has to present a roasted pig as an engagement gift to the bride's family. I'm guessing that's a kind of trade-off. I'm guessing that's a kind of swap, a barter system. In many parts of the world, it's your parents that actually choose for you who you're going to marry. That might come as a bit of a shock, but in India and other places, their level of divorce is a whole lot lower than ours, so maybe there's something going in for it. And now that I'm married and have children of my own, I'm actually warming to this idea. I think it's got some very good some benefits. But I better not push that too far, because I know that's going to get me in trouble. I know that people are not going to be happy if I go down that. But it's interesting, one Indian groom actually got up at his wedding speech and thanked his parents openly for being so wise in choosing the right girl for him. Hard for us to imagine. In Bible times, in the times that we're looking at Mary being betrothed or pledged to Joseph. And this betrothal, this pledging was a public statement. It was made in a public way. Much stronger than our engagement notion, but like that, just stronger. And Mary is pledged to be married to Joseph. But we read that there's a snag, don't we? There's a problem in the story. Joseph discovers she's pregnant. We're not actually told how he finds out that she's pregnant. Maybe she's starting to show. Maybe the grapevine has been working overtime. In fact, it would have been, wouldn't it? Grapevines work like that. News like this gets out. Her Facebook status would have read, "It's complicated." I've often wondered, and maybe you've wondered this too, why is it that Mary just didn't tell Joseph that she's pregnant? I've often wondered that. And I think the reason is because she didn't know how to, and she couldn't expect Joseph to believe her. I mean, what would you say? She comes up to him, "I'm pregnant." He'd ask, "Who's the father?" And she would answer, "Well, it's God, actually." Would you believe that? You might sympathise with someone like that, but you're more likely to get her admitted for psychiatric assessment, if that was in you. And she couldn't tell Joseph, but she couldn't hide from him either that she was having this baby. He finds out, he knows he's not the father. And we're told here that being a good man, being a just man, being a man who does what is right, he opted to not expose her. To break off a betrothal, which was a public announcement, had to be made as a public announcement. If you wanted to break the betrothal, you made that public announcement. Joseph, being a good man, thinks of trying to break off the betrothal commitment without the customary public announcement, and putting Mary to shame. And it's at this point that Joseph gets help, isn't it? And thank God he does. He gets supernatural help, which is exactly what he needs to be able to actually accept what he probably would have struggled to accept from Mary. The angel appears to him in a dream, and the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, that must have been a huge relief to Joseph when he woke up in the morning to have this revelation. It allowed righteous Joseph to do the right thing. And he does. He marries Mary, the girl that he loves, and he takes her home as his wife. We read that in verse 24. But far more significant than the happy ever after ending to this sticky situation is the baby that Mary is carrying. It's the baby who is so much more significant in this story. Joseph is told what to name the child, and the child's life contribution is wrapped up in his name. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. The name is invested with meaning. It's what Jesus will do in his life. Call him God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. It's crystal clear, isn't it? The reason. There's a rescue operation that's about to get underway, beginning with this little baby. People, we are in desperate need of saving. We are in need of rescuing from what? From our sins. Are you aware of the fact that it is our sins that are destroying us? Sin is an attitude and an action, isn't it? Our attitude of ignoring, belittling, ridiculing, cold-shouldering, defying, redefining, or refusing God as God is the attitude of sin that we need rescuing from, serious rescuing from. And it's our attitude towards God in any one of those categories that works out in the way that we treat others and offend both God and harm other people. And we need rescuing from this. We've attempted to define the meaning and purpose of our existence, and we've ended up in this mess and pointlessness in which we live. And we can't fix it. We can't. We have cut ourselves off from the author of life, and we're left stranded like recharged batteries without a power source. And we are all running dry. Individually and as a race, We've got a use-by date. And our solution is this baby called God Saves. He saves because he is God and because he is human. He becomes one of us. This baby is born to the Virgin Mary. He grows to be a man. As a man, he proves he is also God by his actions and his life, and by particularly his power over the cross and death. He rises again on the third day. He saves by taking the punishment of our sin and dying as a man. He saves by rising 3 days later because he is God. You can't hold him down. The baby in the manger is the amazing God-man called Jesus, which means God saves. And he does save. Jesus lives up to his name because he did, and because he did so, all of us who put our faith in Jesus will be saved. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Can we really be saved from death that our sins are causing us? The answer is yes, you can. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. How can you start believing? Well, that's easy too. The way to start believing is simply talk to God in prayer. Ask him. Say something like this: God, I realize I need your help. Help me to believe and trust in Jesus the Savior you sent to rescue me from now on. Pray something along those lines and then join a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church and continue to grow in your understanding, in your love, and in your application of Jesus as Lord in your life. Join the family of God and become one of the saved. Now, I hope that you really enjoy Christmas this year. I hope that the opening of presents will bring you things that you really like and wanted. I hope that you get to eat lots of good food, not too much, that you get to enjoy friends and family. But much more than that, I hope and pray that all of us here today will know and experience that everlasting joy of knowing that we have been saved. Saved by the only person who can do that, the God-man, Jesus Christ the Lord. So let me pray and I will close. Father, this Christmas we thank you once again for Jesus the Saviour. Lord, we thank you that in sending Jesus we have a safe and solid rescue platform for us to stand on. We pray that any here today who may not yet be trusting Jesus as their Saviour will do so. We pray that you will show them how serious is their situation and help them to accept your amazing but only offer of eternal life while they still have the opportunity to accept. We pray, Lord, for our friends, for our family, for those who remain in danger of being lost forever, either due to ignorance or arrogance. Lord, in mercy, reveal to them their need for Jesus and grant them the ability to accept him as their Saviour. Thank you for Christmas time. Help all of us to always love, to always appreciate your amazing gift of eternal life, given to us in Jesus, and more than anything else, Lord, help us to accept this great gift. In his name we pray. Amen.